Good morning. Now, if I was one of those people that did that, now come on, I said good morning, I'd do it right there. I'm not going to, but all right, just making sure you guys are with me. How many of you guys have ever played the game Truth or Dare? Now, I don't want to hear your R-rated Truth or Dare stories, first of all. But second of all, we are over the next few, actually 6 weeks beginning today, we're going to play Truth or Dare. I choose truth, don't get any ideas. Because we're going to be talking really about truth. Truth is kind of a big deal, and we're going to be talking about how this world that has fallen because of sin, really everything we face, a lot of what we face in every day of our lives, we are facing a world that tries to twist the truth, because there's a very, very real enemy, and you call him the devil or Satan, who's real, who does exist, and whose entire job is death and destruction, and he uses twisted truth, deception, and lies to keep the world from Christ, to keep the world from knowing truth, and even as Christians, if you put your faith in Jesus, to keep us off track, because his end goal is death. You guys know that truth is a big deal, because what you believe truth is, and a lot of times the world now will say it's all relative, there's no real truth, but that's circular logic, that doesn't make any sense. There can't be, not everything can be truth. Not what you believe can just be truth. If you believe it, that's good for you. That doesn't actually make sense. There has to be absolute truth. And we know what that is. But because people, humans, you and I, when we believe there's a truth, and maybe it's just you live, die, so have fun, my life's mine, it's about me, all those lies that we get fed, there's problems. You saw in that video, radical Islam, and you know what's going on in the world right there. Think about people follow ideologies because they have a lot of reasons why they do. Maybe they think they're true, but we know there's an enemy who twists truth, because anything other than Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life is not true. You think about people that followed Adolf Hitler. Saddam Hussein got followed. You think about David Koresh, you remember in Texas, he had followers. There's people all over the world that are following things. Most of the world will just follow self. I want to do what's best for me, what makes me happy, what I think and feel. Who was the guy that they called themselves some sort of religious sect? Was it Jim Jones, where they drank the Kool-Aid about 30 years ago? You guys remember that? There are people living all over the world. Think about just nowadays, you think about men and women who are just giving themselves away sexually is one good example, because that's love. Look at what the big movie was last weekend that brought in $90 million in one weekend. That's where our culture's at, guys, that anything is okay and that truth is all relative, but that's not true. And we need to understand that what we accept as truth and what we know to be true is going to affect how we live our lives. You and I are basing our lives, if you're here this morning and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are basing your life and your eternity, your everything. If you're really walking with Jesus, that orders every way in which you do your life. You forgive people. You put God first. You read and obey the Bible. You give your time to church. You obey the Bible and tithe. You give your money to God. It orders and affects every area of your life. You're basing your eternity, because God is perfect and we're sinful. And so we can't have a relationship with God, because it started back in the Garden of Eden when mankind chose sin. Because we're sinful, we can't be in God's presence. But we're putting our faith in the fact that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, his blood redeems us to God. We sing songs like "There's Power in the Blood," and I'm trusting Jesus with my life and my entire eternity, and therefore that of my family, etc. It's kind of a big deal that we understand when Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God except by me," is true. We're basing everything on that, aren't we? Truth is a big deal. Now, we know that God's love, he loves you no matter what. No matter what you do, don't do, how you live, he loves you. He loves you so much that he gave Jesus to make a way that you could have a relationship with him and go to heaven, not hell, and have life, not death. And it's going to affect how you live your life now. But we live in a culture where there's a lie that everybody goes to heaven. No, only people who have given their life to Jesus go to heaven and have accepted his free gift of grace and salvation and redemption to God. And that doesn't mean you just do it one time and it's over. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself and follow me. He just wants your heart. He wants a surrender of your life to him. And you'll never, ever regret doing that. Truth is a big deal, guys. This world that we live in, there is very much an enemy, again, we call him the devil or Satan, of our souls, of our lives, of our families, of our children. And on and on and on. His desire is to twist and manipulate truth to keep us away from God, or to keep us from ever being exposed to real truth. That's why so many people don't come to church. The enemy's winning. You can't hear truth. We can't live life together. We can't serve in fellowship and be the body of a group of believers to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, to go into all the world and share the good news that God loves you and Jesus died for you if we don't come to church. It's absolutely true. So today we begin a series. It's going to be 6 weeks, and it's called Twisted. And it's about just simply that the fact that the world, and there is an enemy, there is a devil, and he twists the truth. And we have to be very careful even as Christians in our lives, or that will get into our lives. Let me tell you, our first slide today says that it is life and death, after the way, the truth, and the life. It is life and death for us and ours that we learn to discern in a culture of deception. Which means, that discern, that's a church word. It means that we learn to know the difference between right and wrong, between truth and lies. And the ultimate, absolute source of that truth is the Bible. It is God's word. That is how we know what's right, what's wrong, what's happened, what's going to happen, who God is, how he feels about us, how we follow Jesus. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to go over the everyday twisting of truths and myths and things that twist God's truth. Because guys, common deceptions impact you and I every day. Common twists of truth impact our lives every day. And if we're not careful, our thinking and what we believe and how we feel, it can begin to get into our lives. It certainly happened to me, and twist how we think and feel and impact our lives. Guys, our ability to discern, it's our next slide, God's word and truth versus the enemy's lies spells the difference between life and death, joy and happiness, abundance versus the loss of everything we hold dear. How many value your life? You do, right? Jesus says, guys, you're going to lose it anyway. You're going to die. So the only way to save it is to lose it. And that's to surrender your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. And anything short of that really is not truth. There's so many verses in the Bible about truth, but we'll just go over a few. And we'll start with Psalm 119:160. I love it. The entirety of your word is truth. Time out. You guys ever watch Saved by the Bell? We got any of that generation here? Remember when Zach Morris would do the timeouts? First of all, I hope no men raise their hands there. No man should ever admit they watched Saved by the Bell. I did. I'm doing a timeout here. The entirety of your word is truth. Do you guys know what a big deal this is? And this is one of the biggest lies out there. Well, the Bible, you know, Genesis, and I'm not sure necessarily about creation, or, you know what, I think the Bible was written a while back, and some of that stuff, culture's different, etc. No, guys, God's word is truth, all of it. It's for our good, it's because he loves us, it's real, it's all true, it's infallible. Every one of his righteous judgments endures forever. And as Christians, here's a huge lie, because there's unfortunately probably a few of you that have been here today, first service, whatever, hear that and you're like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't buy all of it or follow all of it. We don't have that luxury. It's all true. It's all good. It's all because God loves us. So there's parts in here, guys, it's hard for me. I know there's parts that are hard for you. But it's all true, it's all good, and it's a lie to think that we can just pick and choose. Jesus said in John 17:17, Jesus said, if we can go forward, please. Jesus said, your word is truth. Let's just roll through. We got a couple more here. Jesus said, your word is truth. In Psalm 86:11, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Guys, I got a little bit of a fear of God, and I've learned it the hard way in life. Not that he's mean, he's not bad, he's nothing like that. God is the absolute embodiment of love and of life-giving and of a loving God, a loving parent, a loving heavenly father. But I've learned if I just willfully walk in disobedience to his word, bad things happen to me. And unfortunately, we have a whole world who are walking like that because they're not in a covenant relationship with Christ. So many go into death, into eternity, facing separation from God, facing hell, which is real. That's another lie. Let's go forward, please. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, the most important thing there, or as important, and we'll get to the equally important thing, I guess, is grace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. All you got to do is believe in Jesus, and you have eternal life, you're forgiven, you go to heaven. And that's true, right? But with grace, there's always a counterbalance of truth, which Jesus says, if you believe in me, you will follow my commands. You will abide in my word. You will love people. You will forgive. Amen? Yeah. So grace is real, that you can't earn salvation or be good enough. God just loves you and Jesus died for you. But also the truth, which is that it always costs something to follow Jesus. It costs us. It's also always worth it. And there's a lie that I believe has creeped into our culture and even our churches, just grace, 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 grace. Live however you want, believe he exists, you go to heaven. We live in a culture, again, where just everybody goes to heaven. Those of us and those of me, you, knowing Jesus means that we go to heaven. And we can't earn that or be good enough, but we follow him, those things tend to come into our life. And if we're not careful as Christians, it's very easy also to harden our hearts, to quench the Holy Spirit, to just ignore God's word. Or if I don't read God's word, I won't know how I need to live, and therefore ignorance is bliss. No, guys. God's word is true, all of it, and it's wonderful because there's a lot going on that we don't see. There is. Eternity is real. Heaven and hell are real. There's, 500 billion galaxies in the universe? All I can see is this room right now. That doesn't mean those things don't exist. In the 1800s, there was a concept called spontaneous generation. And back when science wasn't what it is now, they used to believe that diseases just popped into existence. The diseases just happened and they came. And of course, we know that disease has the power to kill, to spread all over the world, to kill millions or billions. You think about the plague back then, or even Ebola now, or just even the flu, or just all different kinds of diseases. It was called spontaneous generation. And they believe, in doctors' disease, that these things just popped up out of nowhere and killed people. But then a guy came along named Louis Pasteur and said, hey, time out. There are unseen things that are actually causing this. They're called bacteria. They're microorganisms. They're unseen. And the invisible world is where diseases come from. And you guys know that's the physical world. And you've heard us say this. The physical world and the spiritual world almost always parallel one another. The guys, the battle that we are facing, the fight we're fighting is against the unseen. And the unseen, this very real enemy, has the power to kill and to steal and to destroy and to make sure that he wants people to go to hell. He wants you to live a lukewarm Christian life. He wants you to be casual about the Lord, casual about church. He wants you to not live in the abundance that God wants you to live in. To forget that heaven is your home. The Bible says to set your mind on things above. He wants us living right here, right now, today. Right now, I really care about lunch and getting out of here. That's what the enemy wants us to feel like. But the Bible says there's an unseen world that's very important. Ephesians 6:12, you may know the verse. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, this stuff right here, right now. What we're really going against is powers and rulers and darkness and spiritual wickedness. Because there's a spiritual battle. We're in a war. The entire history of humanity until the end when Jesus comes back is just a big game, a big war of God versus the enemy. Of good versus evil, of heaven and hell, life, death. And listen, Christians, in order to live, and we have to understand that since this is a battle, that we have to arm ourselves. Ephesians 6 goes on to say that we need to have all these things, that we need to have faith. We need to be praying. We need to be righteous, which only comes through Jesus. It's not like you can be good enough, but when we follow Jesus, we won't live in sin, okay? We need to have a positive attitude. We need to have, the Bible talks about all these things, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Can't live abundant, victoriously by not reading and being in, listen to this, by not obeying the Word of God. You can't just consistently choose, we can't, to do whatever we want. Well, I know the Bible says this, but it's just not an option. That's a lie. It's a lie. There's an unseen world. There's a battle going on. Your life is not just flesh and blood and the few years you get on earth. God made you for an eternal relationship with him. And all you got to do is say yes to Jesus to have it. But if you say no, or you ignore Jesus and ignore what the Bible says and just live in sin however you want willfully, and you've got an issue. Because God is perfect and we're certainly not, are we? There's an unseen world. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn them to John chapter 8. We're going to briefly just go into this unseen world. If you're a guest here this morning, relax. We don't have real long sermons usually. They put a clock up to keep me in line. So we're just going to spend a few minutes talking about what Jesus said in John chapter 8 about this unseen world. But I've got to warn you, maybe you're a believer, maybe you're a guest, maybe you're on the fence. This stuff's a little unsettling. The whole of the Bible is that God is real, God loves us, Jesus is Lord, he's coming again, there'll be heaven forever. It's pretty good stuff if you put your faith in Christ. But some of the stuff is unsettling, and I believe this is that. John 8 is popular because it gives us John 8:32, which says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You've heard that in movies. Politicians have said it. You've heard that, right? Okay, so John 8 is a very popular chapter. Truth does set us free. Truth is God's word. But a twisting of God's word or an ignoring of God's word or what the world says or maybe your BFF can say unless they're walking with Christ, etc. A lot of this stuff can be lies or twisted truth. You don't have to twist the truth very much to make bad things happen, do you? Lies, twisted truth imprison and enslave us. So we've used the verse in the last few weeks about many stumbling to slaughter or facing eternity in hell because they bought or are just buying lies. And one of the biggest lies that I now see even creeping into the church, well, there is no hell. So what's there to be scared of? There's nothing to be scared of. Say yes to Jesus' grace because there is a hell. The Bible's very clear. Can't have heaven without hell. And these lies are, we can pick and choose truth. So some of these verses are unsettling, but it's good. And it's our human nature, our flesh, to want to say, whoa, time out. I like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and if I confess my sins, he forgives me, and church is okay. But you know what? It's going to cost me something to follow Jesus. I've got to really be kind of radical, one of those Jesus people. Yeah, because it's good. It's a lie to say we can just, I'm going to give God a part of my life and come to church some, but I don't really want to be one of those Christians. Now, I don't usually like these old sayings, but this is one that came from the church a long time ago that I love. It says, Jesus is Lord of all or not at all. You've heard that one. It doesn't mean that, you know, I have to be one of those people that's just all I do is quote scripture. All I do is have no fun. All I do is you know, come to church 12 days a week. I love church. I love scripture. I love trying to live a right way that you know, means I don't do and live in sinful ways. But there's a myth, again, that and a lie that, you know what, you can just do whatever you want, just follow Jesus, believe he exists, and that's enough. Jesus is saying in these verses we're getting ready to go into here, you got to follow him on everything. All you got to do is deny yourself and follow me, Jesus said. So Jesus in John 8, here's what's going on here. Jesus is having a conversation. There's lots of people following Jesus because at this point in his ministry, everybody's already starting to buy in that this guy is the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. He is doing miracles and stuff is happening and people are starting to, he's far enough into his ministry, people are believing that he's the Messiah. Everybody except for the religious people, actually. Isn't that kind of weird? The religious people who should have known, they knew all the prophecies. Their job was to be religious, was to be good. They're the only ones who weren't buying into Jesus, but they really weren't buying in because it was kind of a heart issue, in my opinion. He was really kind of calling them out about what it means to please God. And so what Jesus in John chapter 8 is saying here is that after all I've said and done, isn't it obvious that I come from God? Isn't that obvious? And the religious leaders then begin to say, hey, we follow God. Abraham's our father. We have Moses. We don't need you. And then Jesus turns to them and he says, and imagine this is a real setting, big group of people. Jesus is saying, you aren't real followers of God or you'd recognize me. Ouch. They didn't like this. Just like, guys, when I come to church and sometimes I preach something or I hear something through the week that I don't like because it convicts me, sometimes I'm reading God's word and I'm like, ouch. But I don't just then get to say, well, forget that. Because see, that's a lie. God's word, the entirety of it, is good. And so what happens here is after all the evidence, these religious people still wouldn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And that happens in our lives sometimes. After all he's done, we go through seasons where we're not walking closely with him. The world, despite the fact that Jesus lived and died on the cross and rose again, they don't want to recognize him as the Lord. Sometimes there's parts of the Bible maybe we disagree with and we begin to say, okay, let me back off this Christian thing for a second because it's going to cost me something. If you guys get the Chronicle, I wrote the pastor's letter this week, and it's entitled, this coming week, The Dirtiest Word Ever, which is no. Jesus said, if you want to follow him, sometimes you're going to have to deny yourself. That relationship, or that feeling, or that talk, or that substance, or that disobedience, or that whatever it is. It's different for all of us. Sometimes you got to say no, because Jesus, I'm following you, and I'll deny myself. It's a good thing. So after all this, the religious people still wouldn't open their eyes, okay? And so Jesus, of course, begins to go forward. And if you go to verses 43 and 44, we're going to go there in 1 second. But I want to talk just before we do that about us and about some lies that very frequently get into our life. you know, maybe we don't want to believe this part of the Bible, that part of the Bible. I think since we're in church this morning, I'll talk about one of the biggest lies, which again is you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Now, maybe you're shut in, you're sick, you can't make it, that's fine. You have to be part of the body of Christ to be part of Christ. I heard an example, I've never heard this before this morning, I'll give Pastor Dan credit for this one, talking about that and talking about how the Bible says that the church, not a building, but Jesus' followers, are the bride of Christ. And to say I don't need to be part of those people is ridiculous. Imagine you're married and someone says, hey, I want to be part of your life, Micah, but I can't stand your wife. I'm not going to be friends with that person. So we can't tell Christ, I want to be a Christian, a follower of you, but I don't want anything to do with your bride, your wife. That is such a great example. 38, I'd never heard that before. See, I'm glad I was in church to hear that example this morning. That was good. The pastor section laughs. All right, that's good. It's a lie. The enemy wants us to be disconnected, to be lukewarm about church, to always be too busy for church, to always make some reason why I can't come Sunday or get there Monday or Wednesday or be a part. He wants us disconnected because disconnected is dangerous. Let me testify. It can at times, which this isn't going to make sense, I won't go into detail, but I want to promise you, be lonely to be a pastor. And I have found getting disconnected is dangerous. I have to be very, very careful to have men and people in my life that hold me accountable that I can be completely real with. You need that too. You need brothers and sisters in Christ to pray with, to study God's word with, to say, how's life going? What are you struggling with? How you doing? How can I pray for you? You have to have that. And it's a lie to think that you don't. Amen? I'll ask for an amen on that one. John 8, 43, 44. Here we go. Jesus says here, Jesus is talking to the religious people. He says, why do you not understand my speech, what I'm saying? Because you're not able to listen to my word. Their hearts were closed. Their hearts were closed. They just weren't going to hear it no matter what. Have you ever been that way? My wife tells me I can be that way sometimes. I just won't listen. She's probably right. But when we have a surrendered heart to Christ, that becomes much less of an issue. Jesus tells them, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and doesn't stand in the truth. There's no truth in him. When he speaks his own language, for he's a liar and the father of it. Wow. There's a deceiver. There's an enemy. There's a devil who is just a liar and a murderer. I hope you guys have never had your life touched by murder, but you know it's bad. You see stuff on TV. He's a murderer. He doesn't want you to follow Jesus now, and his ultimate goal is to make sure you don't go to heaven. And he's got power in this world, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. I want to get back to Jesus. These guys, the religious leaders, had just said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus looks at him and says, no, the devil's your father. Ouch. Try working that into a conversation sometime. Jesus was the most loving person to ever walk the face of the earth, but he also spoke truth, didn't he? And he's really holding them to the carpet here. That's rough. He says the enemy wants nothing more than them, than me, than you, to have lukewarm or situational faith, to have our truth or our values or what we think is right change with the times or popular culture, to be wishy-washy, to be lukewarm about faith, about church, to not serve, to not obey God, to be excuse makers about our relationship with Jesus. That's what the enemy would want. Jesus is saying right here, and this is it's up there if we have it. Jesus knew and believed that the devil was real, that he has a personality, he's an entity. And listen to this, if you've not been awake, get awake now. His agenda is death and destruction of all of mankind, of you and of me. And the means he will use to make this happen are deception, lies, and twisted truth. If you're not walking with Christ or you're living in sin, he right now is working on your human brain to make you think, I'm okay. I got time down the road. I'll deal with this later. I don't want to change my life. Nobody knows. Nobody needs to know. I could go on all day. They're lies. When you have a God who loves you just like you are, and wants you to come and repent that you might be saved, to give your heart to Jesus. The enemy has power here on earth, but his power is limited, so his method is to lie. His methods are lies and deception and half-truths and twisted truths to wreck humanity, to wreck eternities, to wreck your life, to wreck father-son and mother-daughter relationship, to wreck marriages, to wreck families and friendships and relationships and communities and values. And I could go on all day, right, wrong, obedience to God, our views on money, our views on sex. That's right, I said it in church. All these things, he wants us to get twisted. I used to have a buddy, when he'd talk about something, he was real serious, he'd always say, don't get it twisted, meaning, here's the deal. The enemy wants us to get it twisted. Because then we won't follow Jesus. Then we won't be fruitful Christians. Then we won't be part of church. Then we won't love. We won't forgive. He wants us to make excuses. He wants us to be lukewarm in our faith. His agenda is to steal, kill, destroy, and wreck, and his tool is deception. Now, Jesus understood he's overcome the world. Heaven is our home. And even on this earth, all authority has been given to Jesus Christ. In this world, we'll have trouble because it's fallen. Death, disease, sickness, brokenness, it's here. Things aren't right till he comes back. But Jesus also understood that the enemy in this earth, this ball of dirt, had some power. John 14:30. Jesus said, I will not speak with you much longer. This is, he's getting ready to be crucified for you and I. For the prince of this world is coming. Jesus says, but he has no hold on me. But Jesus said, he's a prince of this world. You guys remember when Jesus was just starting his ministry, when he got tempted? From Luke, let's read this. Jesus said, this is when the devil took him up and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me and I give to whomever I wish. See, this is tough stuff. Jesus is saying this, retelling that story and saying, yeah, see, the world is kind of his, right? He's real. The battle is real. The consequences of hell are real. Of brokenness in this life are real. Just like God's grace is real. And the Lord is real. And heaven is real. And he loves you. And he wants the best for you. In order for that to happen, though, he has to have you. That's the deal. People of God, I think we must wake up and recognize the battle, the war that's going on for our souls and lives, for our hearts, for our allegiances. And there's a real enemy that wants nothing more than death and destruction in your life and in my life. His weapon is twisted truth to get to his end, which is death and destruction. We must be able to recognize that we have to put the whole armor of God on to submit to Jesus' lordship of our life. Not just his existence, and not just in the areas where it's easy for us or we can deal with, but all of his word is true. And the most important thing is love. And God's grace is beyond our comprehension, but God's truth is not. That's right. We just got that dropped on us this morning. His grace is immeasurable. His love for you is immeasurable. Absolutely. You can't even begin to comprehend them. But his truth is pretty simple. Dan, we're going to close up in just a second. Guys, as always, it's always a heart issue. It just really is. And the question is, do you need to open your heart? Jesus said, the enemy, the very real enemy, came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, eternal life, life right now, and have it abundantly. My word is for your own good protection because I love you. It's for your good, your benefit. And maybe you're here this morning and you just have never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you have, but you've bought the lies. Guys, I've bought a lot of lies through the years. By the grace of God, I'm retired from that. Because he loves me the most. He is for me. He is for you and not against you. He loves you with an immeasurable love. The Bible says your name is written on the palm of his hand. He knows the number of hairs in your head. He wants to spend forever with you, and he wants you to live good lives now. But that only comes in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. We haven't opened the altars for a few weeks, so we're going to do that in just a moment. But if you would, before you would, we're going to pray together. Would you stand up this morning? I want you to go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. And I want to remind you that God loves you no matter what. Nothing you've ever done or ever will do could separate the fact that God loves you. But if you willfully choose sin and choose not to give your heart to or to live with Jesus Christ as your Lord, you risk being separated from God from all of eternity. A God who loves you, a God who made you, a God who knows you. Nothing in this life will ever ultimately satisfy your heart short of surrendering it to Christ. And only that voluntary love, only the surrender of your heart to God will ultimately satisfy Him. Jesus said, you can't save your life anyway, because if I don't come back first, you're going to die. Why risk eternity for something you can't keep anyway? The only way to save your life is to lose it and say yes to me, Jesus said. The same Jesus who came and hung on that cross and died, God's Son, His blood for you, His precious blood. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not Lord of your life today. And you might have been saved and baptized twice, but if He's not Lord of your life today, would you please come and pray? If you like prayer, come to the altar, pray at your seat. And if you do that, would you come see one of the pastors after service so we can talk and pray with you? But right now, the altar is open as we sing together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your grace and for your goodness. And Lord, I know there are some here today that have been buying the lies, and Lord, they don't know you. They've never put their faith in you, or they have, but they're far from you. God, would you help us to be real with ourselves right now? Let's get rid of the lies, the voices, the gripping the seat, the excuses, and say, Jesus, you're Lord of my life or you're not. And Lord, if there are those here that aren't, Lord, can we make today the day of salvation? None of us are promised tomorrow. We're promised that you'll forgive us and that you love us. Lord, will we just, Heavenly Father, surrender our hearts to you today if you don't have them? We know how good you are and we praise you. Amen.